the thronging. He allowed all the people touching him, and he allowed the woman to be there. He was delaying on purpose. He knew what he was going to do. Do something much greater than just heal Jairus' daughter. And so he then said to the crowd, he didn't allow them to go on, except for Peter. We're going to see why he took Peter in just a minute. James and John, the brother of James. These three. Jesus wanted to disciple these three. They were very close to him. It was like his inner core, his inner family. And he's discipling them, showing them what God would do through them after he was gone. And we'll see this in a very real way at the end of the study today. And so Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he sees the tumult, or the confusion, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. Now, how can people that are wailing and grieving over a dead little girl, she's 12 years old, by the way, and I thought it was kind of unique that the woman had the blood issue for 12 years, and this little girl is 12 years old. And so here's a man that's desiring his 12-year-old daughter, and a woman that had been suffering for 12 years, and Jesus can take care of both of those situations. Both of those situations. And he does. But here we see these people weeping and wailing. And the answer to this, that they were able to turn around and laugh with such ease, is because in those days they would actually hire professional wailers that would cry at your funerals, at their funerals, and make a big to-do about it, and weep and wail. Now, there was some very heartfelt weeping, we're sure about that. Family members and those that are grieving the loss of this little girl. But also the professional wailers, especially among the rich. And so when he said, "Why are you doing this? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps," they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say to you, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. You know, Jesus thinks of everything, doesn't he? He knew that she would be hungry. And he just told them, get her something to eat now. She's going to be hungry. It kind of reminds me of my grandmother, you know, when you go over to grandma's house and she's always got something to eat for you. And she just knows when you're hungry. And he's taking care of her. It's the sweetest thing, isn't it? It's just showing the sweetness of the Lord and his kindness to know that she would be hungry. And so he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Now, let's look exactly at what happened here. So Jesus, after waiting and causing Jairus to have to wait is now going to do a much greater thing. He is going to raise this little girl from the dead. And when he took her hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means damsel, or Talitha, actually meaning literally, my little sheep, arise. Kumi means arise, which being interpreted is damsel, I say to you, arise. Now, years later, when Peter was in Joppa, there was a special lady that ministered in the church. Her name was Dorcas, or Tabitha. And she had the two names, and I kind of prefer Tabitha for obvious reasons. You know, you don't want to call anybody Dorcas, I don't think, but Tabitha. And she was very precious to the people. And I thought for us to really get the scope of this story, we should turn to it in the Bible. So let's turn to Acts in chapter 9 and verse 40. Acts in chapter 9 and verse 40. I think I'd like to start a little earlier in this story. Let's go ahead and start up at verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. And it says, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick, and she died. Whom when they had washed her, they laid her in the upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, Lydda's a place, and Joppa is a place, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows, God loves the widows. I'm telling you, if you're a widow, God just is crazy about you and wants to take care of you. There's a neat scripture, Isaiah 54:5, that says, My husband, my maker. And he becomes the husband to the widows. He does that. Seen that so many times through the years. The widows in our church. The widows in Haiti, when Sherry and I were called to Haiti. And the dear widows that had next to nothing in Haiti. Next to nothing. But oh, they were nurtured by the Lord and taken care of by the Lord. And they had their little fellowship in the Lord. We were able to meet them and greet them. And they gave us presents. It was sweet to see the widows. But he, sure enough, thinks about the widows and takes very good care of them. If you're a widow, you look to Jesus. You let Jesus just know what you're thinking, what you need. And let him just give you hugs and kisses, because he daily loads us with benefits, all of us. But the widows are really special to him, the widows and the orphans. This is pure religion and undefiled before the Lord, that if we visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep ourselves unspotted from the world, that's true religion and undefiled before God. And so the widows stood by him, weeping, standing by Peter, weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Now this scripture hit me really strong. one year, and I got to go to our ladies' crochet class. I shouldn't call it a class because they all do it so well. They make blankets for the homeless. Some of those blankets have been taken to the homeless areas when the church has gone to different homeless areas to minister. And also they make those blankets for others in the church that are going through something or needing some comfort. These are comforters and wonderful blankets. The best blanket I've got was made by them. It is a wonderful thing. It's huge. And you know how sometimes you'll get a blanket and you're on the couch and it's just not big enough? Does that ever happen to you? Maybe it doesn't happen to you because I'm bigger than you. But my feet are hanging out or something. But this blanket is huge. And it always covers my feet. And it's made out of the softest material you could ever want. It doesn't have fur on it. Thank God, no fur. No fur. Fur tickles. I have hair everywhere. And the fur gets between my hairs. I don't like fur. But this stuff is just flat and just nice. It's my favorite blanket. But this is the kind of thing that Dorcas would do, Tabitha. She would make coats and garments for the widows. And so something that hit me through this whole story, and I'll kind of skip ahead in the story just a minute, because Dorcas ends up getting risen from the dead through Peter. That's the end of the story in a second here. But how important is the ministry of taking care of the widows? And how important is the ministry of making garments? Some people might laugh off the crochet ministry or think, oh, that's not a ministry like drug and alcohol ministry or the teaching ministry. You know how important it is to God? He raises people from the dead that do this. You know, you might want to get into this ministry. Because when you die, you might not be fully dead. Because God raises this lady from the dead. Because those widows missed her. And I just think this is awesome. But this is kind of a side note to what I want to give to you about Peter, the disciple of Jesus Christ. And really something about discipleship that we can follow the Lord with on this. So let's go on. But Peter put them all forth, just like Jesus did. He put everybody out, except the mom and the dad, Peter, James, and John, and there was a good reason Peter was there, because now it's Peter's turn, right now. Peter put them all forth, and he kneeled down, and he prayed. Turning to the body, said this, Tabitha, arise. Or Tabitha, kume. What did Jesus say? Talitha, kume. There's only one letter between what Jesus said and what Peter said. One letter. Where the B is for Tabitha, because that was her name. There was an L, which means young maiden. Damsel, or my little sheep. Tabitha, kume. Jesus said, Talitha, kume. Peter's copying Jesus as close as he can here. He is just probably thinking back on that lesson. You know, his hair was probably standing up. The hairs on the back of his neck were probably standing up, and his eyes were this big, watching what Jesus did. Talitha, kume, damsel, sheep of mine, arise. And she arose. And so Peter says, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. Guess how much fun that was? Oh my, that would have been fun. To take her hand and lead her out to those widows that were hoping and praying for her, and that experienced her ministry, and to present her to them. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And so many believed in the Lord. It's so true. We should only believe. Only believe. Jesus can do so many great things in our lives if we would just trust Him and believe in Him and keep it that way. Keep it that way. Yes, be accused of being, what's the word? I can't think of the word now, but it means being kind of dumb with faith. Just having blind faith in the Lord and just believing Him for the very best for our lives and praising Him in advance for things that He's going to do and do so much better than we could ask or even think. These are scriptures that I'm kind of quoting now, because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that's at work within us. Only believe. And after some years of hard knocks and things and going through certain things in life, we're tempted to get hardened, to sometimes even get bitter, get mad at God, mad at our situation. But you know, the Lord just wants us to look to Him, to just believe, only believe, and allow Him to work things out. I had such a banner day today. I can't help but to be full of faith this day, because I've been delivered this day from just a long time agony that's been eating at me, because our school is in total unity today. The principal of our school came into my office and he just said, Mark, he says, you won't believe what's happening. He said, we're just so together. We're just one and operating on all cylinders and just so unified that you won't believe it. And he says, you know what? I thought this could never happen, but it's happened. We have two new teachers, and the other teachers are very close to the new teachers, and they went around together to different rooms in the church and were praying together for the ministry that would take place this year in our church and school. And it was just such a banner day. I was giggling like a little boy with the principal of our school today, giggling and just blessed and lifted up in the spirit because of what God has done. He has given us a unity and a blessed togetherness here in our church and school. And I just can't say enough about it. Talitha, arise. Tabitha, rise. Calvary Chapel, Anaheim School and Church, arise. You know, glory to God. God can do anything. And that is just the simple story of it. So Peter became a very good disciple of Jesus Christ, did he not? In saying, Tabitha, arise. And really got it down. And I don't know what Peter was thinking, but he was probably waiting for the next line there in verse 40 where it says, and she opened her eyes. She opened her eyes, because that's what it says about the young damsel that Jesus rose from the dead. She opened her eyes and he said, get her something to eat. And just a wonderful, wonderful thing going on here. Now, what does this say about discipleship? I think the people that made the bracelets a few years back with the WWJD on them, did the right thing. They were, looked like a watch, and it was a bracelet, and it standard for what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And so, if each time we face a situation, if we just say in our hearts, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We're becoming his disciples. Because what Christian actually means is Christ-like. And we want to follow him and follow others that are following him. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. And so we want to be conformed to his image daily. That's what the scripture says about us. And so Peter, in copying Jesus, really, is what he was doing here. Man, he's asked here to raise somebody from the dead. You know, you need to copy the master on that one. And so with us, if we would just remember, just kind of picture in our minds that we have that bracelet on, what would Jesus do? And just follow what you think he would do. And that is real Christian living. That's why God sent him as an example to us. And that's what he says to the elders of a church, that we should be examples to the flock, not lording over the flock, but being examples to the flock. What would Jesus do? What would he do in this situation? And as we ask ourselves honestly that in our hearts and allow God to speak to us about it, he'll show you what he would do, because he is able to fill us with his spirit to do exactly what he would do and make it just so real as we go with that. And so we see this example of that in the Bible. So we've seen then in Mark, Jesus Christ's power over the demons, his power over the demons when he cast all those demons into the pigs, and the pigs ran down the cliff and off the cliff and into the water. We saw that in the beginning of chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, beginning of chapter 5 at Gadara. And then we saw him heal the woman with the blood issue. Completely different thing. It wasn't to do with demons. It was about a poor woman that had this blood issue for 12 years. She was healed. And then the raising of someone from the dead, which was modeled to Peter, who was able to do the same thing later in the name of Jesus Christ. There is so much power in his name, so much power for every hour of our lives. And as we face these different situations in life, how he would just love us to be thinking about how much power he really has and what he can do and what he would do, and then to act on that. Allow him to be filling us with power in his spirit to go forth and to just act on it. And then all the power of heaven would rush in behind us in that action of whatever he's called us to do. How good he is in doing these things, because all power has been given to him and he wants to give it to us. You know, there's kind of a scary scripture, and this is just kind of an exhortation scripture for us about this subject in the Gospels, where he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. This happened in his own hometown, Nazareth. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. But all things are possible with the Lord. Nothing is too hard for him. And so we want to only believe. Only believe. And just go forth with that. and just stay on the cutting edge of faith. And that would include praise, because we're not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything with prayer and thanksgiving. And the peace of God will rule in our hearts if we learn how to do that. Just pray with thanksgiving. That's trusting God in advance for what He's going to do. My son James, I'll give you a James example of this. He had been listening to Pastor Chuck on the radio, and Pastor Chuck was sharing his famous old example of how he needed to trust God before he got the answer to his prayer. And he had been praying for the rent, and he was looking for the rent in the wrong places, the mailbox, because that's the way his deliverance had come before. He was living in Arizona. They had a very small church in Arizona. Him and Kay were young and didn't have enough money to pay the rent normally. And so they would get money in the mail from relatives. And he was looking in the mailbox. And the last possible time came that he could get taken care of that way. And it just didn't happen. And he just knew that he could, he had to get dinner that night, and he didn't have any money left, but he went to the mailbox, and the mailbox was empty. And when is it too late for God? And so he went to the store. It was pathetic, and he got a radish, just one radish at the store, and a can of soup. And that's what they were going to have for dinner. And so just then, the man behind the counter says, "Oh, Pastor, he said, I've been meaning to give you a gift certificate to shop with here at the store for a long time. And so here it is." And he thought, "Man, if this is on the Lord, I'm going to get steak." And he went back and got steak. And so that's Pastor Chuck's testimony about the last minute God, right? Well, my son James is listening to this testimony on the radio. And it just so happens that his rent is due. That's $1,000. $1,000. They were renting a condo up here in Orange for $1,000 a month, which is unheard of now, I think. But anyway. So Pastor Chuck had talked about how he should have thanked God before the deliverance instead of after, because the Lord had showed him that, you know, if you can trust a man for your deliverance, why can't you trust me and praise me before it even happens? And James took that example on the radio, and he just started dancing around the living room with Christy, thanking God in advance for the rent. And the next day, in the mail, there was a check for $1,000 from the insurance company. The insurance company ever do that to you? I haven't had that happen to me. But anyway, James had it happen, and there was the rent. Slam, bang, bam. There it was. And so James learned from that testimony on the radio, and he took it into his own life. And God wants us to do things like that. I know He does. He just wants us to only believe, as He said to Jairus. Only believe and see what God will do. And the Lord loves it when He sees His people acting that way. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? We follow in His footsteps and be discipled by Him and through the men and women that have gone before us. There was this one sister, I never forget this testimony, that used to come to Pastor Chuck's church, and she always trusted God with her finances, and she was like a traveling preacheress, you know, and just doing all kinds of mission trips and stuff. And this one guy from Texas offered her a credit card. said, "Dear, just take this credit card, and whenever you need anything, you just put it on that credit card, and I will pay the bill." And she said to him, "No, thank you. My God has been taking care of me real good for all these years, and I don't need your credit card." Oh, that stuck with me. That's one of those testimonies from my pastor, from Pastor Chuck, that's always stuck with me. You know, God just loves to impart to us these gems from different ones and have us hold on to His Word. His Word is real. It's as real as anything, and it's eternal. And it's the only thing that's going to last through eternity, His Word. And so we trust Him and His Word. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together, and then maybe we can have the guys come up and do a couple more songs to end. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for this glorious chapter in the Bible, Mark chapter 5. And, Lord, we've seen Your power. And, Lord, we know that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what You teach in Your Word. And so, Lord, help us to want to be like You, want to go Your way, want to trust You every day. Trust You, trust You, trust You. Thank You, Father. Only believe. And so, Lord, we appreciate that. And we pray that You would help us now with this Bible truth. We don't want to live in that place of continual worry and fret and fear. No, Lord, we want to live close to You. Lord, we want to believe You. And we thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would desire prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room will be open for you. Brother Dan will be in there to pray with you. And, of course, there's lots of room around to pray and fellowship and so forth. May the Lord bless you. May God continue to lead you and just train you in the way you shall go with instruction from on high. I love that verse. It kind of sums up our life in one verse, that the Lord will lead us with His counsel and afterward receive us to glory. That's the whole thing right there. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.